Our Father, we thank you so much that you have spoken. We thank you that we can know you. And so we pray that as we look at your word, and as we consider the question that some of us might have, and that the people around us most definitely do have, we pray that you would give us understanding. Help us to know what to think about the other religions. Help us to know what to think about Jesus and about Christianity. Lord, for people here who do not know you, I pray that this quick look at this topic would be helpful for them as they hear what the Bible has to say. And Lord, for those who are your people, I pray that this would help them also to understand. Help to sharpen us, help us to know you in a deeper way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can imagine the discussion. Somehow the topic has come to religion, and the Christian is talking about what she believes. She talks about God and Jesus, about forgiveness and eternal life. And all of this sounds vaguely interesting to her friend. And then her friend says something that's very common for this day and age. "I'm glad you found something that works for you. I have another friend who has found hope and meaning in meditation. I'm still looking to find what's right for me." The Christian starts to feel a bit uncomfortable at this point. Does she let that go, or does she speak up and say what the Bible has to say to that? Well, she decides to speak up. "The thing is," she says, "it's not really about what you enjoy or what works for you. The question is, what's true? Is there a God? And if there is, how can we know him? The Bible says that there's only one way that works. It says that God gave us Jesus so we could come to him, and Jesus is the only way." At this point, the friend turns with horror towards the Christian. "Are you saying that someone who doesn't believe in Jesus will go to hell? That's so arrogant. It's so intolerant. I could never believe in a God who's so unfair, who punishes people just because they don't believe in Jesus." It's a very real conversation, and one that doesn't take a whole lot of imagination to think of. This is the attitude that plenty of people have when it comes to Christianity. And maybe it's your attitude. It's fine for some people to believe it as long as they don't say it's the only way. If they start saying it's the only way, that's when the trouble starts. That's when people are unloving and intolerant, arrogant and uncaring towards those who believe differently. Because, after all, don't all religions say basically the same thing? Well, let's think about that idea for a minute. Let's slow down and consider what the various religions actually say. If you think all the religions say the same thing, it's worth taking the time to at least have a superficial look at what the major religions actually say, so that we're not just assuming and misrepresenting them. I've got two main points this morning, and in each we'll see first what the Bible says, and then we'll have a quick look at the basic tenets of some of the other religions. Let's actually respect the other religions enough to listen to their beliefs, to understand them. So let's look at the first point the Bible makes on this topic. There is only one God. And so as we turn to Isaiah 44, verses 6 to 20, this claim is made clearly. The Christian God, the God of the Bible, says there is only one God and he is it. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Verse 8. You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. This is what Christians have always said, and the Jews before them. There is only one God. As you read through the story of the Old Testament, you can see that this was never an easy belief to hold on to. The Jews were constantly abandoning the one God of the Bible to worship the gods of the peoples around them. But here, God issues the challenge. Who is like me? None of these other gods will cut it. He's been there from the beginning, and he'll be there at the end. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. And as we read through the rest of the Bible, we see what kind of a God this God is. He is the one who is powerful, making the world just by his word. He made the world, but he's not part of the world. He's distinct from it, separate from it. He's a kind God, showing compassion to people suffering and hurting. He's a forgiving God, a just God, a saving God, a God in control. He is a God worthy of worship, and there is no other rock. He knows not one. So the Bible draws a line in the sand. It makes a truth claim that is either true or false. But what about the other religions? Well, Hinduism says that everything is God or part of God, which they call Brahman. Brahman isn't personal like the God of the Bible. Brahman could be described like a fire. You can imagine a fire, a big bonfire, and our universe and the many gods that they say exist, and we, according to this, we're all just those little flickers of flame that separate from the main body of fire. We're that flicker of flame that will die out soon. And the aim of life in Hinduism is to escape the cycle of reincarnation, to escape that little flicker of flame and get back into the main bit of flame, the big fire, get back to Brahman. Now that might sound very strange to you. Eastern religions can be difficult for the Western mind to really get our heads around. But can you see how different it is? An all-powerful, personal God, distinct from creation, versus a non-personal being, not distinct from creation, with many gods, many lower gods. And what about Buddhism? Well, it depends on what branch you follow. One branch says that there are no gods. Another branch says that there are many gods. And the aim is to achieve nirvana, where you finally cast off all your desires and finally realize that you don't really exist. Again, that sounds very different from Christianity, where there's one God who offers people not an absence of existence, but an eternal physical existence with him. Islam says there's one God, which makes it look similar to Christianity, or at least more similar than Buddhism and Hinduism. But Islam's God and Christianity's God are very different when you look at the details. Eternal life in Islam isn't eternal life with Allah. That's a big difference. Even in paradise, Muslims aren't with their God. But that's the great hope of Christianity. We have a God who will be with his people, who isn't distant from us, but actually came down and entered into our creation becoming a man himself. That's something that Allah could never do, and is blasphemy in Islam. Now, that's a lot of detail, and you might not have taken it all in, but do all those religions say the same thing? Do they all seem the same to you? Do they teach the same God? I hope your answer is no, they don't. Anyone who thinks the religions are all the same hasn't respected any of the religions enough to actually listen to them and look into the details. You may as well line up a Granny Smith apple, an apricot, a pear, and a watermelon and say they all look the same. Well, I mean, sure, they're all fruits, which means that they'll have some similarities, but they are also incredibly different. And so to say they're the same is just silly. Now, we have the obvious problem now of working out which religion is true, because they can't all be true. They all say radically different things. See, we all worship something. The question is, are we worshipping the right God? We don't want to be the foolish people in the next part of Isaiah 44, worshipping something that we've made up ourselves, either from the wood of a tree, which we also use some of that wood to make a fire with, or we make it up in the imagination of our own mind, or we accept a religion that just sounds good to us. We don't want to make up a God who tells us that everything is fine when the real God is looking at us with anger. Whatever the true religion is, we need to follow that way, that God. Now, let's put the question of which religion is true on the back burner for now. For now, let's see how each religion says that we can come to God, or to their version of God. And again, we'll look at Christianity first, and then we'll look at the other religions. So our first point was that there's only one God. Our second point is that there's only one way to God. And the key verse that I'd like to focus on here is John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There are plenty of people who'd want to call this statement of Jesus arrogant and unloving. How could a good God only provide one way? What about all the people trying to get to him in other ways? Now, I have no idea what the protocol is for trying to get an audience with the Queen. I imagine there's some point person that you're supposed to contact, a specific person to contact and make arrangements with. Someone who will approach the Queen with your request, or maybe that someone will take it to some people before her to see whether it's worth bothering the Queen with your request. And then if they accept it, the dates and the times need to be sorted. She's a busy lady. Then you need to be schooled on how to address the Queen, how to bow or curtsy, all the etiquette and the niceties that you'd have to follow with her. The Queen gets to decide how you approach her. She's not going to be impressed with someone who's dressed in rags, snuck around her royal guard, got in the back door, creaked up the stairs, sat down at her desk, waiting for her to show up. You'll be chucked out, probably charged with a crime for thinking that you could do such a thing. We're used to rulers and other important people deciding how to come to them. And we get to decide how other people approach us. They have to knock at our front door first and wait for us to come and to let them in, to open the door for them. Those are our rules. And God's similar. He gets to set the rules for approaching him. And Jesus has said, He is the way, the only way. And no one can come to the Father except through Him. But why would Jesus be the only way? Because God is holy and we aren't. God is totally pure and right. He can't be tainted by sin and evil. In fact, He is so perfect, so just, so righteous that He must punish sin. He can't sweep it under the carpet and decide that it doesn't matter anymore. And the Bible says we aren't holy. We are rebels and sinners. We haven't followed God's ways. We've made up our own ways. When we lie, we're rejecting that God says we should be people of truth. And when we do tell the truth, we aren't actually doing it in obedience to Him. It's still us deciding what's right for us. It's still us rejecting God, picking and choosing what we want to do when we want to do it, not recognizing any rights that God has over us to determine for us what's right and wrong. God has said what He wants from us. He wants us to love Him perfectly and to love the people around us, our neighbours, perfectly. But we don't. We've all failed. We've loved ourselves more than God and neighbour. And because God's holy, He can't let that go unpunished. Every unkind word and thought, every outburst of anger and selfish motivation, it all needs to be punished. And we're all in that boat. All of us. All under God's judgment. And it's only through Jesus that we can escape. That's why He's the way. And no one can come to the Father except through Him. Because without Jesus, we'll be punished. But Jesus came to save us from that punishment and bring us to God. When we believe in Him, His death is treated as our death. He paid the fine for sin which we couldn't pay. All the other religions disagree with this. They say that God isn't that holy and we aren't that bad. Anything bad we've done, as long as we've done enough good, God can overlook it. Even if you don't remember a thing of what I said about the other religions earlier, you can at least remember this about them. Every other religion says to get to God or to paradise or whatever their goal is, to get there, you need to be good enough. That's what they say. You need to try hard, work hard, and God might accept you. But the Bible says you haven't been good. We'll talk about this more deeply next week. But you haven't been good. We all deserve to be judged. Whether you're a really good and moral Buddhist or Muslim or Hindu or any of the other religious groups, Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, a Freemason, a whatever, if you're relying on yourself to be good enough, you are not approaching God the way He wants you to, the way He says to. You've actually made up in your mind a different God, one who isn't holy. You have a false view of yourself, thinking that you are better than you are. Jesus says you can't make it yourself. God has only made one way for people to come to Him. And that way is Jesus. By His death in the place of sinners. Taking the punishment that we deserve. Offering forgiveness and His righteousness. Not only is our sin taken from us, But we get all of his goodness put on us if we believe. The religions aren't all the same. All the other religions say, do, do, do. Jesus says, done. I have done it all for you. I died. I rose again. Trust in me. Now, if that is true, then all the other religions are wrong. We live in a world that doesn't like to say that anyone is wrong. It wants to say that everyone's beliefs about God are valid. But when you have religions claiming exactly the opposite of each other, we have no choice but to say that someone has to be wrong. Those are massive differences which can't be harmonised. If Christianity is true, all other religions are false. If Hinduism is true, all other religions are false. If Islam is true, all other religions are false. And that means that if you haven't found the truth yet, you should be on a truth quest. And we as a church here, this is what we exist for, at least partially. This is what we exist for, to help people on their truth quest to know who is God, how can I find him, how can I have a relationship with him. And the best place to start in this quest for the true religion is Jesus. Who is he? And especially, did he die and did he rise? The answers to those questions will help you work out the truth about Islam and about Judaism as well. Islam says that Jesus didn't die, that someone else died in his place. Judaism said that Jesus died, but he didn't rise. Christianity says he both died and rose. And so start with Jesus. If the Bible is true, that God has made only one way to come to him, and that way is Jesus, then excellent, you found the truth first shot. But if the Bible's not true, then you've already got a head start on a couple of the other religions. It's pretty helpful. All roads might have led to Rome, but not all religions lead to God. They can't all be true, not if you take them seriously. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. And so if you haven't yet, examine his claims, find forgiveness for your sins, believe in him, find eternal life in him. Because there's only one way to God, not by being good enough, not by trying hard like everyone else says, every other system of thought, every other religion, they want you to try to be good enough. But that's not what Jesus says. He says it's only by him. Now, if you already trust in Jesus, hold on to him. Life can be painful. Being a Christian can be painful. But don't give up on him. He's the only way to God. He is worth all the hardship and all the pain because he brings us to God. And don't fall into the trap of all the other religious ways of thinking, that you need to try to be good enough. The book of Galatians is a letter written to people, written to a church that had accepted the gospel, that you come to God by faith in Jesus, but they'd fallen away from that and started to think, now to be with God, I need to keep trying hard. That's not the gospel. That is not what the Bible says. We are with God, forgiven by him, have a relationship with him through Jesus and Jesus alone. His work on the cross, his rising to new life. Don't fall for the trap of thinking that you need to do good things in order for God to be happy with you. If you trust in Jesus, your sin has been taken away completely, and you have gotten all of his goodness placed on you. He has done it all for you. Believe it. Hold on to that truth. Don't let it go. He did it all. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for this wonderful news that Jesus is the way that we can come to you. Before him, without him, there is no other way. But because Jesus came, he died and rose again, we can know you as Father. We can know you as Lord. We pray, our God, for the many people who do not believe in you, who are around us. Potentially for those sitting in this room here, but for our friends and our family, for our workmates, for our neighbours. Our God, we pray that they would put off any hope in themselves, any thought that it's through their work that they can be saved. We pray that they would find their hope and their trust in Jesus and in him alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.